This is an ABC podcast.
Matthew Leckie cuts back inside, one way then the other. Yeah. He scores for Australia.
That is the sound of Federation Square reacting to Matt Leckie's goal. Pandemonium. Limbs flailing everywhere. What on earth is going on? Matt Leckie, a frequently derided player in a frequently derided Socceroos team, has just sent Australia into the round of 16 at the Football World Cup. They've done what no other Socceroo team before them could. Two wins at the showpiece tournament. If 2006 was the golden generation, what does that make this bunch? Platinum? Next up, a bloke called Lionel Messi and some nation called Argentina. But today, we're celebrating. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Daniel Garb is working at his fourth World Cup. He was at the ground in Qatar. He stayed up late to talk to us. Garby, we will pick through this astonishing Australian sporting moment in just a moment. But first, give me the vibe on the ground among Australians in Qatar.
Well, not only have I stayed up late to talk to you, Stacky, which I'm always happy to do, I've stepped out of a pumping bar in order to do so. So that shows the respect I have for you at the moment. But it is great to talk about the Socceroos and what they're doing right now. And obviously, everyone's on cloud nine here at the moment. It's an incredible feeling. I mean, Socceroos fans are obviously euphoric in the stands, but in disbelief as well. No one came to this World Cup thinking Australia would get through the group. We hoped that we would get a win and end that drought. To have managed back-to-back victories, back-to-back clean sheets, to win through to the rounds of 16, it's beyond anyone's dreams.
I want it all! Let the member of the Algernon, let me score and put the Algernon through. What a feeling, what a night.
They are Graham Arnold's miracle men. Against all odds, on so many occasions, not just at this World Cup, but dating back over the last couple of months, they have managed to deliver when every single person has not only written them off, but ridiculed them as well. And they have managed to stick fat, maintain the spirit and the chemistry, and look what they've done, an incredible Australian sporting achievement. So that's the sentiment riding through right now here in Doha.
Sounds like the supporters are riding high. Let's go back to the game. And we've got to start and finish really with Leckie's winner. Why was this such a special goal?
I mean, it's special because in the first half, Australia's up against it. So if you really set the scene of the emotions of the strike, I mean, we were riding our luck in the first 45. We looked out on our feet. We looked lethargic. We had the feeling that this was one game too many for us at a level required to get through the group. A little change is made at halftime. Backus comes in, and obviously that helps Australia just settle things. And from there, we're on top a little bit in this half, but the news of Tunisia's goal comes through, Patrick, which was concerning because they then moved to top of the group, and that just started to quell any sort of encouragement amongst the Australian fans that this was going to happen. And then Matthew Leckie goes on this mazy run.
Sitar recovers. And a break here for Riley McGree. It's on for Matthew Leckie. Matthew Leckie!
For a goal that is up there with the greatest in Socceroos history.
Cuts back inside. One way, then the other! And he scores for Australia! Matthew Leckie!
Should be spoken about, I think, in a similar breath to Tim Cahill's strike, which may be more aesthetically beautiful.
But Australia looking for a quick comeback. They've got it! Tim Cahill! Astonishing!
But if you consider the stakes involved with Leckie's, it's in a similar bracket. For him to do that as well is huge because he's a player who has been doubted a lot, I think, over the journey. Whenever he's got to a certain level, he's maybe had another dip.
This is my third World Cup now, and I've had my chances in previous World Cups to score. Wasn't meant to be, and my first World Cup is probably one of the most important goals for me and for the team.
Socceroos fans have thought that perhaps he's not the finished article, but similar to this team, whenever he's been written off, he comes up with something big, and he's just so effective. He may not be the prettiest player, but he conjures up big moments more often than not, and that's the biggest of all in his career, obviously. From there, Australia were able to take control of the game. And while Denmark threw a fair bit at them, they never looked too troubled at the back. And obviously, when Lekki put that in the back of the net, there were fans running down the stairs of the Aljunied Stadium and hugging anyone you could see in a green and gold shirt. Thankfully, that feeling was replicated at full-time as well.
I love the context behind the goal from a Matt Lekki perspective. You've painted the picture beautifully there. At times, the whipping boy today, he is the man. In 2006, they were considered the golden generation. What does that make this bunch, Garby? And where does that victory rank in terms of all-time Socceroos moments?
Well, for me, they're the miracle men. I don't think they can get close to the golden generation in terms of pure talent, but they've outperformed them statistically now. I mean, the golden generation didn't manage two wins at a World Cup. They didn't manage a clean sheet at all. Australia's managed two wins now and two clean sheets.
Yeah. And there it is! Can you believe it? Written off too many times to remember. Australia has found a way. Found its way to the Elite 16 of world football.
With a squad that has been smashed from pillar to post verbally. So the miracle men, I think, is the tag for mine. Look, do we compare the two? Some people will. That's only natural. It's not one for me. I think we celebrate both. They're both in Australian sporting folklore now for different reasons. And I think this group should be celebrated for their uniqueness. And they perhaps have been a ragtag group at times. But look what they've been able to achieve. The chemistry and the mentality of the group has never wavered. And I think that is such a credit to Graham Arnold and his leaders and his squad. Even the players who, and I grew around the families here in Qatar, and they tell us firsthand, the players who haven't got on the pitch have felt every single little bit a part of this. And that tells you everything about the chemistry and the united nature of the squad. And that probably makes this generation special. And that is their storyline in contrast to the golden generation, which was just hugely talented.
Graham Arnold has been derided at times, as you touch on. A coach is only really as good as their raw materials. It's all about taking those raw materials and trying to build something. Is that Graham Arnold's superpower, so to speak, an ability to sort of create alchemy, make gold from raw materials that might not have that value?
I mean, is he someone who comes up with the best style of football that you've ever seen? Probably not. The way that he approaches things in the press sometimes rubs people up the wrong way.
I haven't seen... who was critical, Hank, but I think some of them have never even been to a World Cup. So I don't listen to them. They have no effect on my life.
But every single time that you think he's gone, he comes up with a big result. And he often speaks about team spirit and the DNA and these sorts of things, and fans laugh them off as cliches and whatnot. Well, he's having the last laugh now, because that has been so important to this unit.
Mate, a lot of belief, a lot of hard work. And, you know, these boys come in with a great mindset. We've been working on this for four and a half years about the belief of the energy and the focus. And, I could see in their eyes they were ready tonight.
And the players play for him. You know, you might ask them individually and they might say, look, he's not the best manager I've ever had, all in all. But they play for him and they like him and they respect him. And he engineers a team spirit that is just a very powerful force. And the formation is simple for them to understand, and it gets drummed in, and there might be little tactical tweaks, and he comes through with the results. If there's a coach in Australian sport who has changed the way in which they should be perceived, as much as Graham Arnold has, I'd love to know about it. It has been heavy at times, and I know it's affected his family enormously. He has shut them all up in a big, big way.
Socceroos are not done yet. Argentina and Lionel Messi loom on the horizon. Graham Arnold actually has history with Argentina and World Cups, played against them in a qualifier. Spell out the challenge for the Australians on Sunday morning. How will they seek to attack that challenge? What's going to be the game plan against a competition heavyweight?
And he beat them with the Olympic team not too long ago, so that will be in the memory as well, although it's a team that didn't include Lionel Messi and a few other superstars. Obviously, Argentina go in as warm, warm favourites. But Australia have an amazing mentality at the moment and an excellent defensive record. Two games now without conceding. A big reason for that is big Harry Suter, who has been just beyond immense at the back. And literally flawless.
Cornelius lays it off. Here's an opportunity, but it's blocked by big Harry Suter. Once more, he puts his body in the way.
When you've got a leader like that in the defence, you feel as if you can stay in any game. the captain, Matt Ryan, now back-to-back clean sheets. And just on Suter, I think if he played for Argentina or England or Brazil or another big country, people would be talking about him as a potential golden ball winner for player of the tournament. Not exactly a statement you can use when he plays for Australia, but that's the level of his performances right now. And I think a big Premier League move is inevitable for him at the end of this World Cup. But Matt Ryan is growing in confidence with every game. I thought Kai Rolls had a really good game against Denmark. And the fullbacks, as is Bage on the left in particular, has been excellent all through the tournament. So defensively, they feel really confident. But now there's a challenge, of course, that is a huge one, similar to France in the first game, who managed to do with Australia pretty easily. The job of trying to quell Lionel Messi is going to be a fascinating one, and one that will be discussed at length over the next 48 hours. Maybe there is a change in midfield. Maybe Riley McGree goes out and someone like Keanu Backus or Cam Devlin starts to try and watch Lionel Messi as best they can. That wouldn't surprise. They will have this why not us mentality, and they'll view it as a bit of a free hit because they've already exceeded expectations. But make no mistake, they want to keep going in this tournament. This Argentina team's been beaten by Saudi Arabia, who Australia have matched over numerous years in Asia. Hey, this team is forcing us to change our opinions all the time, Patrick. They are believing. Why shouldn't we, considering what they've done so far?
You've covered this sport in this country at its highest moments, and you've also lived with it through some really low and dark times in recent years. What might this victory do for this sport in this country? And how does Football Australia need to capitalise to seize on this momentum?
Yeah, it's an interesting subject. It always comes up when there's a Socceroos high point. But there have been many high points. So I'm not sure it's something that needs to be discussed in that way. It's a massive sport in Australia. We all know that. It's just fragmented at times. And there are people who follow different aspects of the sport, be it the Premier League or other European leagues or the Champions League or just the A-League or just their local clubs. That's football's issue in Australia. But when the Socceroos play or the Matildas play, everyone comes together under that one banner. Or when they perform like this, you see the power of that. That shows you what they're all about. They're a strong sporting brand. And of course, the powers that be need to capitalise on that, and I'm sure they will. But when the Socceroos produce, well, this is expected. The game is, and its place in Australia has never been in doubt. And I'm not surprised that it's engineered the incredible scenes that we've seen over the last week or so with the Socceroos performing as they have been.
Daniel Garb is dreaming big. We're dreaming big with him. Garby, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, mate.
Headlines. Staying with football, and New South Wales Premier Dom Perrottet has vowed to get Sydney a live site so they can try and copy Federation Square, which is very on brand for the whole Sydney-Melbourne dynamic. Coming soon, laneway bars and coffee in the colour black. Test cricket is back, and so is Marnus Labuschagne, who is doing very Marnus things, like making bulk runs against the West Indies.
Seals is in to Labuschagne, who hits this and gets it past extra cover. And he'll bring up the 200 with a boundary. That's four.
And applauding opposition bowling.
Oh, Jason, that's a delicious ball.
Tune into ABC Grandstand on local radio or via the Listen app to hear every ball live and free with Jim Maxwell and the team. And pressure is building on Eddie Jones after a disappointing season in charge of England. The English team was booed from the field after their loss to reigning World Cup winners South Africa last weekend. It's understood the nation's rugby football union has met with Kiwi coach Scott Robertson and others. Jones remains contracted until the conclusion of the World Cup. But England has had its worst year since 2008, and officials might seek to move ahead of the tournament. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. A reminder, we write a weekly newsletter that you can subscribe to by clicking on the link in our show notes. That way, we can email you a wrap each Saturday of everything that happened in sport each week. Thanks to SBS, FIFA and Federation Square for the extra audio used in this episode.
What a cluster of fields around the batsman.
Cricket has been on the ABC for 90 years.
This has been a sensational innings.
Everlasting Summer tells the story from Bodyline to WBBL, and it's on the ABC Listen app right now.